Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Genesis 44. I read especially verse 16. Genesis 44, verse 16. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." The title of the sermon is Conviction of Sin. 3 points of attention. The first point, the healing of a family. The second point, the testing of the brothers. And the third point, the chains of the hearts. So the title is Conviction of Sins, of Sin. 3 points, the healing of a family, the testing of the brothers, and the chains of the heart. Congregation, it happened, children, that there was a small seed. And that seed that fell next to the wall of a house, at the side of a house. And people wouldn't come there so much, but that seed started to grow. You know, it was the seed of a big tree. So over time, this seed was growing and growing bigger and bigger. And this tree, being so close to the wall of the house, started to crack the wall. And ultimately, this tree would destroy the house. So it had to be removed so that the house could be saved. It's amazing what a power there is in the growing of a tree, isn't it? That is an illustration of how it can go in daily life. Where a small sin can be in a family. But the results get bigger and bigger. It becomes destructive for the house, you could say, for the family. It has to be removed. Otherwise, it would destroy the whole family. Isn't that what happened to the family of Jacob? We've been thinking about the history of the family of Jacob. It started so small, the trouble in his family. Actually, he did it himself, isn't it? Now, Israel, chapter 37, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. This is not good and certainly not wise of Father Jacob. I'm sure that parents should do as much as they can to show the same attitude of love to each of their children. And the trouble is there, because we read, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." You can probably understand it, children. Let's say your father is buying for one of your siblings a much more beautiful coat than you have. It's so clear, the difference. And you see, you feel, you sense, you understand why. You see that he loves that sibling much more than you. That hurts, isn't it? I'm not saying that it is good what the brothers do, but it's something that happens. They hated him. Yes, that's the wickedness of our hearts. But Jacob should have tried to avoid this situation. It was just a small thing, isn't it? It was just a coat. A coat of many colors. But the brothers hated him. And then next, yeah, you could ask the question, but Joseph couldn't help it, could he? He's just a kid. And his father did it. But next, then he's receiving dreams. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And those dreams, you could say, were a gift of God. God was speaking, really speaking in those dreams. And yeah, you might wonder how wise it was to tell the dreams. And so the trouble becomes bigger, and the division between the brothers in this family. Oh, how sad to see that. And then ultimately, the brothers come to the deed that they want to kill Joseph. Well, they don't actually do it, but they did it in their hearts. And Joseph is going to visit the brothers. His father sent him there. They saw him afar off, and he came near unto them. They conspired against him to slay him. They want to kill him, their own brother. It's terrible. The sons of Jacob, they are children of the covenant, and in no way better than other people. And so while they make that plan, then Reuben, the oldest brother, is against it. So then they also already have division amongst each other. They have different opinions about it. And then afterwards, Judah says to his brothers, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? So they disagree. And at the end, they decide to sell him to be a slave in Egypt, and then at least they would have some money, and they wouldn't kill him. So they make also a plan to tell a story to their father, take his coat, and they kill a goat, kid, and they do the blood upon the coat and send it to the father. They deceive the father. They ask, well, is this the coat of your son? And so there, the next sin. That's how it goes. It starts small and it's growing, and another sin is added to it. Now they deceive their father, and they bring sorrow upon their father, deep pain in his heart. When you continue to read, then you see that in chapter 42, there you see that Jacob is not trusting his sons anymore. He's not allowing them to comfort him, but also afterwards he is accusing them, and he says, "You have bereaved me of children." And Joseph is no more, and Simeon is now in Egypt, and you want to take Benjamin also. You wonder how much Jacob has felt about what his sons had done. Maybe not even consciously, but who knew them better than their own father? And was there deep within his heart that suspicion that they were involved in that situation of Joseph? There's a deep division in this family. There's a lot of damage and pain in this family. How could this ever heal, you wonder? Could this ever be changed for the good? Jacob says in chapter 43, verse 6, we read, "And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother?" Well, that's unreasonable. That's not reasonable to say this to your sons. How could they know? And that's what they answered. So there is pain. You could say there's a lack of trust. and they're not reasonable. There's division between the brothers, between the sons and the father. Can this ever be healed? How much does it happen in this world? How much hurt is there in relations, in marriages, in families, in congregations? Yes, we live in a fallen world, a world full of sin, a world where Satan is the prince of this world. But we should never forget that Christ came into this world and that he has victory over sin and over Satan. And isn't it wonderful to read those histories and how there is healing coming in this family? It's so encouraging. There is a way of restoration also in our own life and heart. Although there's so much sin in this family, and so much guilt, division, deception, pain, hurt, there is a way back. By the grace of God, there's a way back for you. You might be caught deep in sin, but there's power in Christ's blood. There is power in the grace of Christ to restore your heart, your life. You might say, well, my heart is a chaos. It's so full of all kinds of emotions and feelings and desires, and it's even confusing for me. It's full of all kinds of sin. Like this family. And there is a way to bring order in this family. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring order in your heart, to make a new start, to restore, because of the work of Christ. There's a change also in this family of Jacob, of Israel. And isn't the start in chapter 43? After Israel had accused them, was unreasonable, and asked them wherefore they dealt so ill with him. Then soon after that, Judah is going to speak, verse 8. And he said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. You've read of a foolish offer, wasn't it, Reuben, to kill his sons. Well, that doesn't help at all. But here is someone who's offering to be the surety himself, put himself instead of Benjamin. That's like sacrificing himself. It makes us think about Christ, who would be born of Judah. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee. And then, and the father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruit in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present. So here Jacob is surrendering. Is there a new start of trust in his heart where Judah was sacrificing himself? He came to an end and he gave up. It seems he can give it out of his own hands. Isn't there the start of healing, of restoration for a family? That we might look to the Lord. Oh, Satan is so busy to destroy families, relations, churches, marriages. But God is so mighty and at work to restore, and He has done everything to work faith in the hearts. He has given His own Son so that by faith there would be a restoration in our lives and in this world. So here is the start, you could say, of the healing of a family, and we can see how it continues in the scripture part that we have been reading. But there is in this part a deep testing of the brothers. It's not the first time that Joseph is testing the brothers. He did it before. You probably remember, children, how he did it. When his brothers were there, and he had prepared a meal, and then he gave Benjamin 5 times as much. And also, in that situation, at the end of chapter 43, there he is putting them on the table, at the table, in order, the firstborn, and then the next, according to their birthright. And yeah, might be that he wanted them to see that one was lacking in that order of the brothers. Joseph was not there, that they might remember what they had done, and he wanted to see if there was still that jealousy, that envy in their heart. But it says at the end of the chapter, and they drank and were marry with him. So there's no sign of jealousy anymore. That's encouraging. There seems to be a change. But Joseph is going to test them another time. He knows how deep the heart of man is. He knows how much it is needed that there is conviction, real and true conviction of sin in our heart, so that there will be a change and healing, forgiveness, and a new start of growing trust in each other, so that there will be unity. So what Joseph does is he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. So he's good for them. They get full sacks of food and even the money. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest. So there's Benjamin. And his corn money also. So that's what a steward does, this servant of Joseph. He did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. It was not that Joseph wanted to deceive them, but Joseph wanted them to be convinced about their evil that they had done. Conviction in their lives, but also another deep test, how they would behave when the cup was found in the sack of Benjamin. And as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away. How happy they were. They had food, and they were going home. And all the brothers are there. Benjamin, Simeon, they're gonna see their father, and everything will be fine. Well, not everything. There's still that history of Joseph, whom they sold to be a slave, and the deception of their own dear father. Well, they better not think about that. So they're ready to leave, and they do leave. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, you can see it before you, don't you? So happy they are. There they go. When they're not yet far, then Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? So the men of Joseph follow the brothers. And when they come, and when they overtake them, they ask this question. He overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh? So he's talking about a cup, and whereby indeed he divineth. That means he makes trial. So in cases that he has to judge, this cup is used in an official way. You've done evil in doing so, in stealing this cup. Well, this is a shock for the brothers. You can see it. They didn't know what he was talking about. They were so surprised. You could read it from their faces. And they said, God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. You know that we brought the money that we found in our sacks' mouths. You brought it again. So why would we steal? We are not thieves. How should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? And then they say something. They want to make it strong. It whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondman. There was no reason to say that. It was not wise to say that. And it shows how sure they were that they didn't have the cup. None of them. It is totally impossible. Okay. Let's see. The steward says, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant. So he's not speaking about that that person has to die, but he has to be a slave. He cannot return home. You can go. Ye shall be blameless. So, yeah, they're ready to do that. They take the sack from the asses and they ready to open them. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. You can see that their faces tell, you see, we don't have the cup. Not in the sack of the oldest, not of the next, and the next. And then he comes to Benjamin, the youngest. And there it is. The cup was found. There's no way to deny. There's no way to excuse. The proof is there. The cup. Though they have no words. Then they rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city. It seems they didn't save anything. They just rent their clothes to mourn. This is the end. There's nothing that they can say against it. What a powerful illustration, isn't it, of conviction of sin. And that's a question that we can ask ourselves. If we came to such a point in our lives that we didn't find any words anymore to excuse ourselves, we are so smart in doing that. To make it look better what we did in our lives. But that the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts. And that the Holy Spirit from the Word was shining in our lives. That our transgressions came before us in the light of the face of the Lord. Like this steward was keeping the cup before them. There's no way to escape. No way to deny. You understand that? That you got that conviction in your heart about whom you are for God. Or maybe you might say, well, the brothers were not guilty about stealing the cup. I know. I know. But they don't say anything. When you continue to read in our text, then we understand why. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord?" So they returned and they came to Joseph. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly divine or make trial?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." In other words, they are convinced that they stand before God. There's such a deep conviction in their hearts that they are dealing with the all-knowing God. And although they didn't steal this cup, they, at this moment, they know themselves guilty before God. It's not a question what they are talking about when they say, "God has found out the iniquity of thy servants." It's strong in their mind. They see it before them, how they have sold a brother to Egypt. Although they don't know that Joseph is right before them, in front of them, but they remember very well. And they remember that they deceived their own father. So here's a real change of heart. And that's what we need. We need a change of heart. And this is how the Holy Spirit is changing hearts, by working conviction of sin. I'm not talking about the measure. I'm not talking about how fast or in what way. And this is for sure. For a change of heart, there is conviction of sin needed. That's an aspect of the work of the Spirit in saving a sinner. A deep, a true conviction of my personal sin before God. So that you don't have to speak against it. That the law of God becomes so powerful and sharp in your life that you are cut off from that old root of self-trust or self-righteousness, that you cannot sustain yourself anymore, that you give up, that you rent your clothes. You mourn about the reality that you see. This is how I am. This is what I have done. That you fall before Joseph, who is a type of Christ. It's amazing how powerful this work of the Word and the Spirit is to break through all that pride and resistance that we have by nature against humbling ourselves. And we get that conviction in our hearts, "It's me. This is how wicked I am. Oh, I've sinned so badly against God. Such a terrible way. What a stubborn person I am. What a foolish man I am. What a wicked heart I have. What a jealousy in my heart. What an anger in my heart." It comes before your eyes. You get convinced that you're guilty before God. It's a real change of your heart. By nature, we see it all in our neighbor. We think about things that our neighbor does wrong, and we talk about it. But let's think about what we do wrong and talk about it to the Lord. Even if he might not find words, God knows the heart. You understand what I'm talking about? Did the Lord bring you so at his feet in conviction of sin, cut off by the sharp sword of the word of God and the law? No way to escape. No excuses. They were so smart to deceive in the past. They deceived their father. But that's over now. They start to confess. What shall we say unto my Lord? And what shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? What a mighty, wonderful confession. In other words, we cannot clear ourselves. It's over now. God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. They see themselves before a holy God. It's no more that they have to deal with the leader of Egypt. They have to deal with God. God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. They are sure now. It is clear for them. They cannot hide before God. And so they surrender. We are my Lord's servants, both we and he, also with whom the cup is found. Well, there was a way out, isn't it? They could have left, because it was only about Benjamin. It was only about him. That's clear. The steward told them, you can go, you're free. The one in whom sack we will find the cup, he will be my servant. So that's Benjamin. They could go home. Like they did when they had sold Joseph. They let him go to Egypt. And they went home to their father. And they didn't bother a bit about their brother. And that's not possible here anymore. Here's a change of heart. What a wonderful thing that God is changing hearts and lives. They are one family. They stay with a brother. They want to take the punishment with him. They are convinced that they deserve it. They don't want to leave their brother anymore, and they cannot see the sorrow of their father anymore. Do you see how God is changing hearts of stone to give a heart of flesh? How God is changing a self-centered person to someone who cares about a brother, about their father. Oh, what a power there is in the work of the Spirit in the heart of man. He is changing the hearts. So, conviction of sin is needed. And God knows ways how to bring us to an end. All our smart excuses, so that we will surrender to him alone. And only there where true conviction of sin is, there sin will be removed. There is room for forgiveness and a healing. This is what Joseph was working. This is what he was trying to do, where he wanted them to be, so that he could be united to them. This is what God is doing in the lives of people, so that sin, which makes separation between God and man, would be removed. It's so simple, isn't it? To confess, to become honest before God. And there is forgiveness. And God is restoring that broken relation between God and man by forgiveness of sin. But why is it so hard? It's our pride. It's the stubbornness of our heart. Oh, how sad. And what a miracle that God in his wisdom, much more than Joseph, and in his grace, is bringing us to that point. I hope you can say that. Is bringing sinners to that point that they are cut off from every way of escape, every excuse. They cannot clear themselves anymore. They confess. They fall. They need forgiveness. This is what God did to David after he sinned. He restored David in a way of true repentance. This is what Christ did to Peter. This is what has to happen in every one of us. And there is something new starting in our hearts, to be united to Christ, and so to be united to each other. No, this is not a superficial covering. Well, let's not think about it anymore. We all make mistakes, and no, it's true conviction. That you feel this is real in the heart. And so there's the change of the heart. And there is the restoration. Here is the healing of a family. In a way of conviction of sin. In a way of confession of sin. In a way of falling at the feet of Joseph. That's the same in my life, in your life. We need to fall at the feet of Christ. As a poor sinner, nothing to say, just to mourn, not able to clear ourselves. He will not turn you and me away. He will restore and work that new life and keep it till that great day that we will, in a perfect way, be united to him, to Christ, who was made sin, who didn't sin at all, and who did not speak against it when he was accused and condemned. He was silent. He took the guilt upon himself so that our guilt and sin could be taken away. Oh, what a blessed Savior. Oh, what a blessed salvation in the hearts of sinners. To God's glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before thee. Thou art such a gracious God. Thou hast not destroyed us. We are not consumed. Lord, we deserve it. We deserve to die forever because of our sins. But Christ died upon the cross. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. Lord, pray that I would apply this in our lives by the Holy Spirit, so that it will be a power to restore us in that relation to God and also to each other. Lord, we live in a world full of division and separation, hurt and pain. Oh, what a miracle that Christ took the deepest pain and hurt so that we could be healed, forgiven, and sanctified. Lord, we pray. Bless this word to our hearts. Be with us when we go home. Protect us on the dangerous roads. And Lord, that we in this world may live by grace, so that this grace will shine in the hearts of other people, that they will seek the Savior, find Him, and fall at the feet of Christ to be cleared by Him where we cannot clear ourselves. Lord, that Thy name will be praised and honored forever and ever. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.